Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director from InfoTrends, and I apologize for our short technical delay. Today, we're delighted to present to you the Direct Mail Advantage, Delivering Higher Impact at Lower Costs, sponsored by Pitney Bowes. When you think about direct mail, it remains one of the most cost-effective communication tools available for both customer acquisition and engagement. It delivers the highest open rate, response rates over any other channel, and marketing service providers and service bureaus need to continuously look for innovative ideas and new ways to help their clients achieve even stronger results with better targeting, better timing, while maintaining a healthy bottom line. Today, we're going to be talking about how to deliver higher impact direct mail at lower costs, more engaging and personalized communications, how to use technology to make those communications more efficient, and some of the innovations that are out there relative to technology. I'm delighted today to be joined by Todd Stoker, and he's the Vice President of Operations at Anderson Direct Marketing. And what we'll be doing today is we'll be sharing with you, first of all, some industry information, and then secondly, Todd's going to share with you how they put that into practice. But before we get started, I do want to give you a couple tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget. If you've got a question for us, we'll be taking them throughout the webinar, and all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. Make sure you disable pop-up blockers, and if you want to see what this console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, what we'll be discussing today are, first of all, the concept about why direct mail is so important relative to reaching consumers and how it delivers ROI. Todd's going to share with you how to make direct mail really work, and then I'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions, and we'll make sure that we get to all of your questions. Let me start with basic facts. If you read the DMA Statistical Fact Book, what you find out is that among mail pieces, postcards are most likely to be read by recipients, 56%, that people respond when a courtesy reply envelope is provided as opposed to a business reply envelope, that the overall volume of direct mail went up during 2013 to $87.3 billion, accounting for 56.2% of all mail, and 2.9 billion coupons were redeemed in 2013. Now, the message around all of this is, why is direct mail so important? Well, turns out that direct mail wields power. This is an infographic that was published in Marketing Profs. And despite persistent rumors that print is dead, mailboxes everywhere continue to get filled with high-quality direct marketing pieces. In fact, in 2011, direct mail spending totaled $47.8 billion. Spending has been increasing in 2013 and achieved a 3.6% compound annual growth rate, and that's projected to continue through the end of 2014. The reason that direct mail is so important is that it's how consumers really make decisions. That same infographic highlighted the reason direct mail is so important. On average, 6.5 in 10 people who receive direct mail marketing make purchases or otherwise engage with that business. If you look at that in comparison to emails sent to existing customers, direct mail has 30 times the chance of receiving a response from the customer. And so what you want to make sure you're looking at is how to use direct mail effectively. And it turns out it's the preferred method of receiving information, especially in a number of key areas. For instance, anything that contains health-related information, treatment for a specific condition, financial services, mail order shopping, and insurance. Now, one of the things that InfoTrends did in 2013 is we actually went out and surveyed more than 2,000 consumers. And we asked them, what can providers do to improve the quality of the business communications that they send to you? Three simple messages. First, make them easier to understand. Second, personalize the content so that it's directed just at me. And third, make sure that you're using color to emphasize the important information. Now, one of the big things that we are seeing is a movement to color. And it's especially important when you look at some of the emergence of new print technologies like inkjet. And what we're seeing is that it's not just color, but it's personalized color documents. For the marketers, there are substantial benefits. First of all, they can avoid pre-printed shells that contain logos and other design work. The reason it's important is that eliminates the obsolescence. I can sit down and I can move what was monochrome work to high-speed inkjet and blend in color and have it gain an edge. And the logic and the value of all those is that color packs a punch. It's one of the most powerful elements of design for both direct mail, ads, and other marketing materials. It winds up being a good form of nonverbal communication. And quite honestly, with today's technologies, it's become much, much more affordable to build that direct mail into a full-color piece. One of the other things that we do at InfoTrends is we actually do an application study every year. And we look at the fastest-growing applications in terms of absolute page volume growth that are driven to digital print technologies. What we're going to see is a heavy emphasis on moving direct mail to digital print technologies. And, in fact, projections are that between now and 2017, there will be 9.8 billion incremental impressions produced on digital devices. And that's, again, between 2012 and 2017. One of the other things that's important is that it's not just color, but it's truly personalized color. And, you know, we've heard a lot of buzz about big data, but what's more important is engaging customers with the right data at the right time. Last year, we did a study titled Understanding Vertical Markets Enterprise Communications Requirements, and we actually talked to more than 1,000 enterprises across multiple vertical segments that employed more than 500 people. Respondents indicated that more than 60% of customer communications were either one-to-one personalized or targeted to a specific segment. The other major finding in that study was that the level of variable data sophistication is increasing. And what we're finding is that service providers need to meet customer demands for higher levels of complexity. And that includes variable photos and pictures and images, variable blocks of text, and dynamic composition of all or sections of a piece. This next set of slides is an example of that migration. And I tell everybody, I think we remember when we used to get information that looked like this, and it was statements and invoices and bills and direct mail pieces that were monochrome. What happened is the technology got a bit more sophisticated, and we could format that information much, much more effectively and blend it with good variable data. And then we saw companies blend in those color logos. But then we saw one more turn of technology, and we saw that they could blend in variable images in the loyalty statements. They could personalize and customize offers and make that whole variable data piece pop in terms of the way that they communicate with you. And so, and in parallel with that, they could also take and blend that variable data and actually integrate it with the physical envelope. And so what we're seeing is a migration that's taking hold in the marketplace to really address what those consumers want. And it's something personalized, it's got pop, it communicates just to me. Another major benefit that we're seeing in direct mail pieces is that, quite honestly, it's a major tool to drive people into an interactive relationship with you and your business. And we're seeing technology like mobile barcodes, near-field communications, augmented reality, and mobile messaging integrated with direct mail. Now, why is that important? Well, when we talked to enterprises, what they told us was that the average number of media that they use in any campaign is 3. Believe it or not, 47% of all printed materials that they utilize are linked to online digital channels. What that means is they're integrating that printed piece with some form of an online channel. And what are they linking? Well, it's brochures, direct mail pieces, bills or statements, and they're using those documents to drive that consumer into an interactive relationship. And what we're seeing is that that piece of paper is truly being blended with mobile technology. And I tell everybody, mobile is a bridge, and it's that bridge that links the physical and the digital worlds. Our view basically at InfoTrends is that at the end of the day, there will probably be two types of communication media left standing. It'll be a mobile device and a printed piece of paper of some form, large format, print, direct mail, magazines. And the winner in the marketplace is going to be that company that can make those technologies work together. And basically, the reasons for integration are, first of all, interactivity. What happens is I can integrate that piece of paper with multiple media types. It can include barcodes, SMS texting, NFC tags, and it extends the value of that printed media. The other component is that it's very, very measurable. Now, one of the things that we did last year was we actually looked at how consumers were actually leveraging these technologies. And so if you take a look at mobile barcodes, we tested it in 2011, and then we tested it again late last year. And what we found out was that there was an awareness of mobile barcodes. That hadn't changed a lot. What we did find was that the interaction with those mobile barcodes had almost doubled in the last 24 months. And what were consumers doing? Well, they were using those barcodes to get additional information, get coupons and discounts, and in some instances, even test if those codes worked. But we saw a number of major marketers look at and blend QR codes with direct mail. The Gap ran a campaign last fall, and they linked their direct mail piece to a video that demonstrated and illustrated their latest line of jeans. We saw Kohl's leverage QR codes to download discounts, as well as, by the way, provide directions to the nearest Kohl's store. And we saw companies like Bath and Body Works, where they used QR codes to actually enhance and strengthen their social media strategy. And what they did is they provided a coupon, but then they put a QR code on the actual mail piece so that they could get you to like them on Facebook and then give you additional discounts via Facebook. Now, a technology that's not quite as familiar is near-field communications. And those are a set of short-range wireless protocols similar to Bluetooth, which enables devices to share information, provide wireless access such as electronic keyless entry, and enables transactions such as mobile payment. But what we're also seeing is we're seeing those NFC tags blended with direct mail pieces. They're affixed to the surface of that direct mailer, and I can scan my cell phone against that NFC tag, and it will automatically link me to the brochure, from a brochure, let's say, to a website, a video, whatever. Now, the difference between NFC tags and QR codes is that if I've got a Droid phone, I don't need to download an app to actually make that NFC tag work. Those phones are, in fact, NFC-enabled when you get them or buy them. Now, the holdout on NFC tags has clearly been Apple. They have not integrated as a standard offering NFC capability into the iPhone. You can download an app to NFC-enable your iPhone. Our view on the market is that there's going to be more than a billion-plus NFC-enabled phones by the time we hit the end of 2015. Now, this is an example of one of the casinos that actually sent a direct mail piece out to its high-value customers. I could wave my cell phone over that NFC tag, and what happened is it would link me to the latest game that they were offering at the casino. Another great tool is we're seeing there's a company called Rapid NFC, that's linking inside of greeting cards as well as direct mail pieces, NFC tags, such that if that's my personal greeting card, I could, in fact, program that NFC to link to a video where my family was singing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas," or I could sit down and link it from a postcard to maybe information about a grand opening. Another technology that's receiving a lot of notoriety is this whole concept of augmented reality. And what we're seeing are a number of vendors in the marketplace, ranging from Mateo to Juneo to Total Immersion, that have great software tools that are enabling people to engage folks with augmented reality. And basically what you do is you'll program an application and I'll position markers on a printed piece. And when that application picks up those markers, the piece of paper pops to life. Now, the primary examples that we've seen have been primarily for fun and entertainment or for gaming. But we're starting to see a lot of heavy utilization in the world of direct mail. Probably one of the examples that received the greatest notoriety was IKEA. And if you got their last year's Christmas catalog, the whole catalog was programmed using augmented reality. And what happened was I could wave my cell phone over a piece of furniture. I could then take that piece of furniture and overlay it in my living environment to actually see what it physically looked like in my house. There's a number of other examples in the retail space where what I've got the ability to do is let a customer look at the image in three dimensions and actually see what it looks like. My favorite example, also from IKEA, was that they actually are blending augmented reality in with the physical labels on their boxes. And what they'll do is they'll actually link that augmented reality to a video which educates you on how to actually put together the specific item contained in the box. Another critical area where we're seeing direct mail effectively blended with emerging technology is social media. And what I tell everybody is what you've got is direct mail sense of touch linked to a number of different options like video, testimonials, and demonstrations. We're also seeing, however, that direct mail side of it being used effectively to build out referral networks. And I wanted to give you a couple of examples of very, very successful direct mail campaigns that were featured as PODI case studies that actually have catapulted response rates. This first one is from Chick-fil-A. And basically what they did is they sent out 5,048 direct mail postcards, and they were plastic postcards with perforated featuring campaign offers. And what they had is on that direct mail piece, the recipient was pointed at a personalized URL. And what they could do then is once they went to that personalized URL, they could activate an offer to get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich or Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit. Now, the other thing that they had the opportunity to do was they could refer a friend, and they used a software tool called Ducky, D-U-K-K-Y, to refer the friends, and you could share that offer on up to any one of 265 social networks. If you shared that offer with a friend, you got entered into a sweepstakes to win free Chick-fil-A sandwiches for a year. Now, what was interesting about this is that they sent out 5,000 postcards, and the response rate was 14,124, or a 279.8% response rate. When you think about it, that's because you're leveraging your loyal customers to refer friends. There was another great example in the retail space from Steinmart. And what Steinmart did is they sent out 20,000 postcards. What you could do is you could refer friends on any one of the major social networks, and what they got was 150% response rate and 30,068 responses. Again, leveraging social media. All of these tools that are out there have powerful dashboards that share with you how and how well these systems work, and that you can see what's going on and who your leading influencers are in terms of your overall community. Now, what we discovered when we looked at the marketplace was that response rates increase when print is combined with other channels. And so when we looked at response rates and we asked, again, corporate marketers what happened, if they use print and a web landing page or an email page, the responses were 27% higher than just print. When I blended print and a web landing page and email, response rates went up, and they were 37% higher. When I did a combination of print and web and email and mobile, those response rates were 45% higher. So the message is multifaceted. First of all, good message, good personalized message, and then blending that message across multiple channels. Now, when we look at all that, there's one other critical factor, and that's that you really need to do a good job in terms of managing your postal costs. And we all understand that postage continues to remain one of the biggest expenses of any direct mail campaign. And one of the easiest ways to increase ROI is to lower your postal costs. The simplest cost-saving strategy is to really optimize your pre-sort, and then you achieve greater discounts by reducing the amount of work that's required by the U.S. Postal Service. When you sort your mail at a five-digit zip code level, for example, you can save almost 4 cents a piece. Savings added up very quickly when you're doing high-volume direct mail. You can also use enhanced carrier route mailings and reduce those postal costs even more. Now, we tell everybody, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to really work at optimizing your postal savings. One other area that the USPS has done a great job at is they give you a promotional calendar. And what you're seeing is that they're offering discounts to leverage some of those emerging technologies that I just talked about. For instance, I can get incremental discounts if I'm doing things like quick response codes, if I'm using advanced color, if I'm doing augmented reality, and all of those are published in terms of USPS savings. The last thing that you really want to make sure that you're looking at when you think about direct mail is making sure that you've done a good job at gaining visibility into that mail stream. A decade ago, direct mail offered little in terms of data and reporting. You'd know the total volume mailed, and months later you could compare that to your orders to determine the overall response rate. But today what we've got are barcode technologies and online dashboards that let you do that piece-level tracking and get detailed financials so that you can communicate and maximize your campaign ROI. You can validate that all of your mail was inducted on the date promised. You can monitor each piece that moves through the USPS network. You can track when each piece arrives at the local post office for its final delivery. And you can actually see when your customer responds to the offer even before you receive that response. All of these things are enabled by advanced barcoding technology. Now, I've shared with you a bit about where we see the marketplace headed. I'm delighted to have Todd Stoker join me, and what Todd's going to do is he's going to take you through a little bit about who Anderson Direct is, but more importantly, how they've done a great job at working with their clients to help them generate a true return on investment. So with that, what I'm going to do is I am going to turn over to Todd, and again, we'll be taking your questions as we go through this. Todd, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Hi, everyone. I'd like to tell you a little bit first about Anderson Direct and about and then also share with you some examples of how we help our clients connect with their customers Anderson has been here in San Diego for almost 30 years now, about 170 employees. We really started off as a local company, but have a pretty diverse national reach at this point. We're a top 20 DM agency from DM News, and recently the top commercial printer here in San Diego. What we do for our customers is we try to connect them with their customers and help them meet their marketing objectives. Our vision for the future is really making every connection a direct connection. As everyone knows, there's a lot of ways to connect with your customers. There's many, many different channels to choose from. And while direct mail continues to be the backbone of our strategies, we all have to choose the right mix of channels to spend our marketing dollars to really maximize our response and our conversion. Here's a list of a few people that we deal with, and some of the verticals that we're in. We're very heavy in healthcare. Do some B2B. Travel and entertainment is a big market for us, and we have a couple of case studies later that show a little bit about healthcare and a travel example as well. So. The way Anderson approaches this is we really have, this is our Orbis services. We have many different offerings that we have all internal. It's what we call a vertically integrated model. It really starts with marketing and strategy, which is, you know, market analysis, competitive analysis, deciding on segmentation, channel attribution rules, and the all-important testing to make sure that we are trying new things and out in front of changes in the marketplace. We do have internal creative services, deals with brand, concepting, really the content of the messaging, the overall design and copywriting, all very critical to the message. And all of that, of course, has to integrate into all of these channels that we're advertising in. Data intelligence, such an important part, as you know, Barb touched on it a little bit. You know, postage costs and overall costs of printing, all of that continues to go up. The smart way to approach that is really making sure that you're sending your messages to a very targeted group. You do that with data intelligence. You understand who you're marketing to, who may respond, and who may convert. So with that, we do, you know, modeling. We do list procurement based on that modeling for both response and conversion models. And then reporting is critical. You know, Barb touched on that too. You really have to know who is responding and why, and from there, send them more of the same. You know, get people really focused on what your message is, understand what that message is and what is getting people excited about converting. Digital is...
I do have one quick question for you. You know, very few organizations have this level of resource under one roof. And you said you started out as a local San Diego company. How did you assimilate all of these capabilities into one organization?
I tell people sometimes it's a little bit like swallowing a beach ball. When you start off as a production company and a printing company, and then you really decide to expand out, there's a lot of learning that goes on. You really have to, you know, one, bring in really smart people that understand these different offerings. And then you have to adapt your company to a new culture, a new way of doing business. It took a while. It took, you know, several months to just accept that we were changing. I've been at Anderson for 18 years now, and when we started the agency about 11 years ago, it really was a culture change. And as you bring on each one of these, and we've done it in a sequence, a sort of a plan sequence, you really have to make sure that you're set up in a way where you're communicating internally, that you're meeting your internal and external clients' requirements, and that you have the right people doing the right things at the right time. It really is critical that you have smart people here that really understand these different all of these different offerings, because they are vastly different. So, you know, digital has obviously been, you know, one thing that has been integrated with a lot of campaigns lately. We have internal, you know, of course, web and email. Search is critical for both organic and pay-per-click. Mobile and social are very much part of the mix now, as well as video or DRTV and, you know, online media buying. Media integration, and that's a lot of what Barb is talking about too, is, you know, the right channels. If you look back at the other slide of all of the different channels that you have to reach out to your customers in a direct communication, you have to choose where to put your marketing dollars and how best to, you know, integrate those, all of those different offerings. So, you know, there's digital, there's direct mail, DRTV, email, websites, all of those various channels have to come together, and they all have to interact. And, you know, production is obviously a huge part of what we do, and when you talk about direct mail and you you lead with direct mail, you know, you have to have a great partner. And, you know, Anderson has, you know, internal production services that really complement all of the other services that we offer. Move on here. So just, you know, a little bit about doing everything. You know, Barb asked a little bit about it. Doing everything internally, it really does help from speed to market, from quality, and an overall integrated approach. You know, we've been doing this for quite some time now, and as we bring these different offerings on, integrating them into our model is pretty seamless. So I want to talk about a couple of instances where we have worked with our customers on, you know, these multi-channel campaigns. The first one is Blue Cross Blue Shield, who's an independent, not-for-profit health insurance company. They have over 1 million members. They came to us. They're looking for breakthrough results, a way to really activate a broad Hispanic market, and they challenged us to rebuild their direct marketing programs. And we had to work with their brand agency and their digital agency of record, and really make sure that we incorporated what their brand was into this this new offering. So we built a multi-touch program. We targeted individuals, families, and small businesses. We used several different we used a cross-channel approach using online, offline media, direct mail, web, paid search, and outdoor and print advertising. This slide is a picture of a bus wrap that we designed for them that was part of the campaign. We also had some direct mail that went out for them that was very very segmented. We went from just a very few segments, and we expanded into a much larger, a much more targeted and larger segment, segmented by age, but also really expanding into the Hispanic market. We use both targeted lists, but also saturation lists. And those, you know, Barb touched on a little bit on carry route lists. Depending on the strategy, depending on what your product is, that can be a very effective strategy, doing saturation mailings. It definitely is a postage savings. And we were testing both targeted and saturation. This product happened to be an individual healthcare, and so that is a very good candidate for that type of approach. So with all this, we were going through new brand and style guidelines with the company and integrating all of that into the direct mail. and the communication. Every mail piece that went out had a QR code, and also that tied back to microsites, both mobile microsites and web microsites, all programmed responsive, so they'll work on your tablet or on your phone or on your screen. So this integrated approach and the QR approach, it did generate a 24% improvement for response rate for the customer. Their performance and their profitability was greatly enhanced over the previous year. Definitely a success story for them and for us on an end-to-end integrated campaign.
Before you get to the next example, I have a couple questions for you. And I'll share my perspective simultaneously. Todd, what are your perspectives on the future of QR codes long-term? Do you think they're going to survive?
Yeah, I think in some respect they'll survive. I think really I personally wrap all of that technology into one. Maybe augmented reality is a little different because it's a little more powerful.
Yeah.
But all of those, you know, it was pearls for a while, and we're not supposed to say pearl, I know, but it was pearls, and a QR code is definitely similar to that. But you can put it anywhere. It's a very small glyph. You can put it anywhere. You use it, you know, with your camera. So I think there's always going to be a place for that. The direct response, I think that interactive response is alive and well and will continue to be part of our campaigns. It gets people where they're going very quickly.
Yeah, the other question that we got, and I'm going to just quickly respond to this, is somebody asked about response rates to QR codes. And I'm going to just share a perspective on it. The response rate to a QR code campaign or campaign with a QR code is only as good as the campaign, which means it's good data, good offer, good creative, good copy. And I've had clients come to me and they'll say, Barb, you know, I ran a QR code campaign and I didn't see any increase in response rates. And I say, you know, what was the offer? What was the creative? You did a campaign, and my perspective is that you did a QR code campaign the right way, which is it's multifaceted. Any comments from the client on the number of scans of that QR code? I'm just curious. I think it's part of an integrated approach, but I was just curious.
I'd have to take a peek at the results to see how many people utilize that. I know we keep track of how many people get to the microsite via that channel. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really think it augments a mail campaign. It doesn't make or break a campaign. The way that we use it, it takes people to the page that we want them to go to or that we feel they want to go to immediately, and immediately puts a call to action in front of them, an opportunity to sign up, and it's very quick. They can do it right there on their phone or on their tablet or on their computer.
Yep.
They can just, boom, sign up, and they're good to go, as opposed to tearing off the DRC, filling it out, licking the envelope, putting it in the mailbox. And it really depends. I do think that there is a much higher response rate on the lower age demographic. Personally, I had a hard time using the QR code the first time. I had to have my 12-year-old daughter show me how to do it. So some of us have probably had that same issue. So, I believe that they are definitely, you know, here to stay. And some, they may not be called QR codes. In some way, there will be this direct response glyph or code on there where people can get where they're going.
Can I ask one other quick question that came in? How do you track? I know you said you can track the traffic to the microsite. How do you do that? Did you do that with internally developed software, or are there some standard tools that you use?
Both. I mean, we have it really depends on who's hosting that site. They would and who's handling the analytics, but. The way we do it is we just put a code on there. So if someone responds in through the QR code, there's a little nugget that comes over that we capture in a database, and we can respond whether they came in, they typed a URL, or they came in through the QR code, or if there's a pearl, of course, then, you know, they could get in that way. Other people click in from, you know, a lot of different ways. You can click in from Facebook. You could click in from the enterprise site. And so we capture all those different ways that, that people are coming in.
Now, I've got a couple, as long as we're on this path, and you, I know, and since we've talked, Todd, do a fair amount of testing with clients. But
yep,
one of the questions that came in was, before committing to the expense of implementing an interactive cross-channel campaign, how do we evaluate if it can improve ROI versus a simple direct mail campaign? How do you help your clients through that?
You know, we're committed to the integrated approach. We really are, and I believe that we lead with that. There are times if someone comes to us and they want to do a, you know, say they want to do a 48-hour sale and they're selling pianos or organs or something, you know, that may not be the right approach for them. But if you're looking for a long-lasting, response-driven campaign, I believe that everyone should really think very, very long and hard about having a microsite, at least a landing page where they can collect information, assuming they want responses. If there is no response, then there's no reason really to do it. If you're advertising something and you just want people to see it, there's no reason to drive them to a website to see it. Via a microsite, you could drive people to an enterprise site. But anytime you're doing response and response capture, it really gives the opportunity to interact, to come closer to closing that sale, as opposed to just getting their attention by looking at the mail piece.
Great. Okay, I'll let you get on to the next example, Todd.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So Crystal Cruises is another example. And again, it's an integrated approach with them that includes a lot of those same channels. You know, Crystal is a very well recognized luxury cruise brand. They've always been, you know, had a very strong brand recognition. They got hit really hard, as anyone on the line that was in, you know, travel and leisure in 08 and 09 knows how hard that industry got hit. They were really dealing with economy, competition, aggressive pricing from other lines that were really looking to pick up the business, and they really had some aggressive growth goals on top of that. So, you know, the way we approached that is really dug into their brand, and because they had such great brand recognition, we really wanted to push that forward and not change that at all. But we wanted to find them a broader target market. So we went to some of the, you know, and we took the list that were tried and true for them. We went to some of the other providers of data and developed a very strong model, both response and conversion on who their customers were. We greatly increased their segmentation, so we were sending a much more direct message to their segments. They had 6 segments when we started and 60 segments when we ended on the segmentation. And we increased the variety of response channels. We added the microsite. We added mobile. We added a phone response that they could use. And really changed, while keeping their brand, we changed the messaging and the segmentation. And we had a 77% response. I'm way behind on slides. Sorry. Here's a couple pictures of what we did for their mail pieces and the microsite. And then again, that is responsive, so it works on both phones and tablets. But we had a 77% increase in conversion. In response, and a 94% increase in conversion. And then there was a segment within Crystal Cruises, which was their previous responders, and that's a very ripe segment for marketing. These are previous hand raisers. We really dug into that segment much deeper. We did models within that segment to give them to incentivize them more to convert, and had a huge ROI, a huge increase in a 2,381% ROI on that segment. So really, I think the lesson there is, you know, we didn't change the brand. We didn't come out with all these new ideas. We did expand it a bit as far as their response channels, but we really dug into the data, and we really tried to figure out who was going to respond, and we did a good job of doing that. Once we got the response rate up, we employed the conversion models and really increased the conversion. And that's it about Crystal Cruises, a good success story there.
That's great. Now, I have a couple more questions for you. Just a couple things in terms of the mail side of it, and that is, how do you control the timing and the delivery of your direct mail?
How do we control the timing and delivery? Well,
yeah. In other words, how do you manage when something gets dropped in the mail for a customer, knowing when it's going to get received and those kinds of things?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple different ways. I think we're talking mainly standard mail. We have a very good partner in Pitney Bowes that we use for commingling, but we also do a lot of our logistics internally. Is very very adept at keeping up with in-home delivery from the NDCs and the SCFs. So if someone has a critical in-home time, we know what the production time is. We know what the transit time is. We can tell by the all the scans and the tracking about when an NDC or an SCF will be in home. And SCFs are much more predictable, obviously, because it's a little more granular at that point. So we back these cells out, and we drop them on a date that we can hit a very tight in-home window.
Okay. Now, I mentioned earlier the piece-level tracking. What are your customer requirements in a lot of instances for piece-level tracking, and how do you do it, Todd?
We use Track and Trace, which is a product from our postal software, but it all ties into the USPS database. The data comes from the USPS. All the scans go to the same place. So there's other products out there that do the same thing. Grayhair is a big player in that, and Track My Mail obviously is a big player in it. So it's what you do with that data. It's not that you're necessarily tracking it. And we have a lot of customers that have asked for tracking, but they really want us to tell them what to do with that. It is good to know that something's been delivered, but, you know, it's really more about the strategy there. And so we don't have a lot of customers that come to us and say, hey, we want this tracked and we want to know. It needs to be, we want to take this data and do something with it. But internally, our logistics folks use that tracking data to make sure that we're up on processing time at the different USPS facilities.
And then one other person asked on the call here, Todd, obviously you do a lot of pre-sorting. How does that contribute to the bottom line ROI in terms of reducing the cost of direct mail campaigns?
Well, you never pay full price for postage. There's too many ways out there that you can reduce your costs. There's the commingling channel, and that's where we use Pitney Bowes, and they're very good at it. Then there's the pre-sorting channel and sorting things down to, you know, the lowest, you know, the five digit wherever we can, or anything that qualifies for carrier route sending out is carrier route. Anytime that you're going through a mail service provider, you're not going to pay full price on your postage. You're going to pay the work share price. There's, you know, a lot of companies out there that do internal commingling and pre-sorting or a combination of both. They do mail, you know, co-palletization. There's a lot of strategies out there to keep that down. But there has to be a balance there. So, what we try to do is we offer our clients. Sometimes we'll offer up first class if they have an extremely tight window and a very short duration. We'll offer up first class, and there is a higher cost to that. But you really have to look at overall what are you trying to do. And so commingling is a really good option if you have a certain type of mail that's not heavily saturated in any one geographic area. and other areas like dropship and direct entry for more saturated mail.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one last question, then anything else that we've missed we'll come back with. But one of the questions that came in was with direct mail pieces, especially postcards, they can get beat up when processed through the post office. What processes do you use to make sure that they look good when they get to the end recipient?
Yeah, we offer up a couple of different types of coding. If we're running, if a job is printed offset, we will typically do an aqueous coating or a varnish. And if a job is printed digital, and the digital pieces, you know, the variable digital pieces are the ones that are a little more susceptible to scuffing just because of the type of material that the type of ink that's used on them. We offer up UV coating for that, specifically on the non-address side, which tends to get dinged up a little bit more than the address side. But we definitely recommend that for that type of printing.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to wrap up here with just a couple of recommendations and conclusions. And then if we didn't get to your question, what we'll do is we'll follow up with you. I do have email addresses. But I think what you're hearing is, you know, marketers today don't have an easy job. On the one hand, they're dealing with, you know, a fickle group of consumers, and they're questioning which channel to engage them on. And in parallel, they're under extreme pressure to deliver return on the marketing investment. And what I tell everybody is that the fundamentals haven't changed. But we've talked a lot about technology, and I think you heard Todd say this: if I got a good list and I'm well targeted, I get a better response. If I've got a great offer, I get a better response. And if I've good creative and media choices, I get a good response. And so what you really want to look at is, how do I increase my response rate? Well, we talked about it. I've got to make sure that I'm doing a good job at targeting, delivering relevant messaging through personalized communications. I want to leverage tools like variable data and color to increase the impact. I want to make sure that I'm linking that digital and that physical world, because at the end of the day, I will tell you that your grandkids and my grandkids are going to have two things in their hands, a piece of paper and a mobile device, and you've got to figure out how to make them work together. Todd talked about it, which is I can get savings on postage by using pre-sorts, and then I get information on delivery timing and visibility into the mail stream by leveraging full-service intelligent barcoding. And so with that, what I'm going to tell everybody is we thank you for your time and attention today. You know, if you haven't already done so and you want to submit some questions, we'll be delighted to take them and get back to you. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Pitney Bowes, for hosting the webinar. And so with that, everybody have a great day. Thanks again for your time and attention.